Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Chulin, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, in the middle of the Amud, continuing with our analysis of the rabbinic attitude towards the Kutim. Ve'achzuk v'lo achzuk v'lo k'tiva tanoihi. Whether or not we assume that the commitment of the Kutim to a particular halacha is a meaningful step in something that's not explicit in the Torah is a machloka tanaim, the Tanya. Matzat kuti muteret. This is a sugya we've already dealt with in Pesachim. The matzah made by a kuti is permissible on Pesach. There's no concern of chametz. Ve'adam yotzei b'yodei chovato b'Pesach. And furthermore, you can use it to fulfill the mitzvah matzah, which means that we assume that they are careful about shimur, even though shimur is not explicit in the Torah. Devar acher, the Rabbi Lazar oser. Rabbi Lazar prohibits. Why? They're not careful about all the details of mitzvot like we are. He disagrees and says that any mitzvah that they have accepted upon themselves, they are more careful about it than we are. And therefore, he seems to agree with Tanna Kamma. We have to identify where they disagree. Okay. So it's obvious that once you say it's muteret, you can fulfill it, use it to fulfill the mitzvah. So ma'udatema lo b'kiyah b'shimur, maybe they're not careful or familiar with the laws of shimur matzah, which is necessary for matzah mitzvah, kamash malan that they are. Meaning, kasavra lo b'kiyah b'shimur, they're not careful or they're not familiar with the laws of shimur. So the last line, which is Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, Hainu Tanakama, as I mentioned when I presented the Braita, that sounds like the same as Tanakama. The answer is Ika Benayu Dichtiva Velo Achzikuba. Our first take is that they disagree about a circumstance where it's written explicitly in the Torah, but we don't know that they've committed to it. Meaning Tanakama Savar Kevin Dichtiva, once it's in the written Torah, Avagavdu Achzikuba, even though we don't know that they've committed to it, we assume that they're doing it right because it's written in the Torah, and therefore we can rely on it. Shingwal Neil Savar, and therefore he uses the terminology Hechziku, he achzuk in ilo achzuk lo. Only if, beyond it being written in the Torah, they've also committed to it in a way that we know they've committed to it. But if that's the case, Ihachi kol mitzvah shechziku bakutim, that's not the language that should be used. It should be im hechzikum vayile, meaning Shem Gamliel is limiting Tanakama and saying that which you said, which is if it's explicit, we can rely on them, that's only if hechziku. So the language doesn't work. Ella, we're going to turn it around. They disagree about things which are not explicit in the Torah, and nonetheless they've committed to. Tanakama savar kevin de lo ktiva, since it's not written in the Torah, even though we see them practicing it, they may not be careful about it, and they may not have a full commitment to it because it's not written in the Torah. Once they've committed to it, even though it's not explicitly written in the Torah, that's good enough, and that's the opinion that we're looking at when it comes to issues of drisa and shehiya, and we're saying that shechita v'kuti is valid, because even though all of the details are not written, we assume that once they've committed to it, they've committed to it. Okay, gufo, we go back, Amar Rav Yisrael nishumad, ochel nevelot l'teavon. Yisrael who eats nevelot, not because of principle, but because of his appetite, you can check the knife, give him a proper knife, and then his shechita is valid. Now, my tama, what's the reasoning behind that? Since you have a choice between doing it the right way and doing it the wrong way, or eating kosher or non-kosher, he's not going to walk away from the heter and do the isur. Therefore, his preference for non-kosher food is merely one of convenience or appetite or economy, but not an ideological preference. So ihachi kilo badak nami. So therefore we should even say if we didn't check the knife. The answer is mitrach lo tarach. He's not going to trouble himself. That's the issue of convenience. If he gets a knife and the knife isn't proper, he's not going to trouble himself. He'll say, what the heck, and he'll do the shechita, not caring that it's improper. Now, Amru le Rabbanan le Rava, Tanya Mesayelach. So the students told Rava, we think we have a braita that will support your position, which is chemtzan shel ovrei avera. And ovrei avera, Rashi explains, is people who do not destroy the chametz for Pesach. Remember that there's an isur of chametz she'avar alav Pesach. You're not allowed to eat it. chametz that was in the possession of a Jew during Pesach. It's a machloket, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, about whether that is an isur d'oraita, Rabbi Yehuda, or knas min divrei chachamim, Rabbi Shimon. Now, achar ha-Pesach, mutar miyad. You can eat from these people, Jews who did not destroy their chametz before Pesach, you can eat from their chametz immediately after Pesach. Why? Bnei shehen machlifin. Because they swap. In other words, they know that they're not allowed to have this, so they swap it for an even price at no loss with a non-Jew whose chametz is certainly permitted, and therefore you can eat from their chametz. Now, Savrua Hamane, we think that the author of this is Rabbi Yehuda, he davar chametz achar Pesach d'oraita, and even though it's in Isur d'oraita, uktav neshein machlifin, meaning al malashav keter v'achil isura. This is what the student said to Rava. You see that this principle, that when a person has the opportunity to do things the right way, he won't do it the wrong way, even if he's a sinner. Therefore, even though this guy doesn't want to lose money by destroying his chametz before Pesach, nonetheless, if he has an opportunity at no loss to have proper food, proper chametz, then he'll do it, and therefore we can eat from them immediately. So Rabbi answered me, "My dumma Rabbi Shimoni. Perhaps the author is Rabbi Shimon. Damar chametz achar Pesach derabanan. Lechimikilina midrabanan. Perhaps we're only lenient because the Isur is derabanan. We don't know that this chametz was owned by the Jew, and so we say, oh, maybe he swapped it. Vidoraita lemikilina, but with shchita, which is doraita, we won't be lenient. Even if it's Rabbi Shimon, miktani shani omerech lifu. We don't. The language of the Braita is not that I'm going to assume that they swapped. Rather, it says that they do swap. They certainly swap. And therefore, we see that when they have the opportunity, even at a little bit of a trouble, but at no financial loss, to have chametz, which is mutar, they'll do it. And therefore, we can now use the opposite argument, which is umabid rabbanan lo shavi keter v'achil isura. Now, instead of this being a weaker proof because it's drabanan, if it's a Rishimon, it actually becomes stronger, because here we have an Isur Drabanan, and nonetheless we see that they will swap in order to avoid the Isur. Vidoraita lo kol shekein? Certainly, they recognize that Shechita is a Doraita, and they'll recognize that if they have the chance to do things the right way, in a Doraita, they'll certainly not do them the wrong way. Okay, so Lema Masayele. So now that's been supported. Either way, in other words, the students really had a good point that this Braita does support Rava's original contention. So perhaps this also supports Rava. Hakol shochatin, v'afilu kuti, v'afilu arel, v'afilu Yisrael mishumat. So we say everybody can do shchita, parallel to our Mishnah. Even a kuti, who we've already dealt with a little bit, we'll deal with a little bit more. Even an arel, somebody who's not circumcised, and even a Yisrael mishumat. Now, hi arel hechidami. What kind of an arel are we talking about? If it's an arel with a medical excuse, because he had brothers who preceded him and died because of mila, and therefore there's a genetic cause, and we don't do mila on the boy. Hi Yisrael Malia, who's a regular Jew like everybody else, why would he have to need a special dispensation to shchita? El pshita mumar lo arlut. It must be somebody who himself is rejected doing Brit Milah, and obviously his father rejected doing Brit Milah, and he also rejected doing Brit Milah. He doesn't want to do Milah, meaning he's a Mishumad for that one mitzvah. Because Savar Mishumad, the Devar Achad, lo have a Mishumad, the Chola Torah Kula. Somebody who has rejected one mitzvah is not one who's rejected all of Torah, and therefore his Shechita is fine. Okay, then let's move to the next clause. Eim Asef HaFid L'Yisrael Mishumad. Hai Mishumad Echidami. What kind of Mishumad is this? Eim Mishumad L'Davar Acher. If he's Mishumad for some other mitzvah, like Tefillin, he won't put on Tefillin. Hai Mishumad L'Arlut. Why is that any different than Orla? In other words, we already mentioned an Arel, which we said has to be an Arel who defiantly won't do Orla, won't do Mila, not because there's a family history of death because of blood clotting. And so therefore, it's somebody whose shechita is trusted, even though in one other unrelated mitzvah he is not a practicing Jew. So imum walad mishumad l'davar acher, imum walad mishumad l'arlut. Elala mishumad l'todavar. It must be that he is mishumad for that thing itself, meaning he is not careful about shechita, and meaning he'll eat from things that are not properly shechted. Uchadi Rava, and that supports Rava, who says that mishumad lechol nevelot l'teavon shchita tok shera if you check the knife, and we reject that. We say lo liolam emelacham mishumad l'todavar lo. My tama, why would we say that if he's not careful about nevelot, his shchita is no good? The answer is very simple. Since he's always used to eating nevelot, he considers it like a heter, the famous heter of Ravuna. He's used to behaving this way, so he doesn't even consider it a problem, so he's not going to be careful at all. He has no yirat shamayim, at least when it comes to this particular context. All right, so therefore, what is it? It must be that the Mishumad, who is listed in that Braita, is somebody who is an adherent of Avodah Zarah, meaning somebody who does Avodah Zarah. And this is a far more surprising statement. If a Jew has, he says, he's living a full Jewish life, but he's doing Avodah Zarah, which of course is a contradiction in terms, and yet you can eat from his Shechita, and that's who is being referenced. We're going to come back and revisit that particular ruling. Right now, Gufa Amar Vanana Shmuel Yisrael Mishumad Lavad Kochavim Utar Lachom Mishchita To. Sheken Matzino. There's more to Shmuel's ruling, which is a source. What's the source? Sheken Matzino Yehoshafat Melech Yehuda Shenena Misudat Achav. Just a little bit of background. In the middle of the 8th century, in the beginning of the, no, sorry, the 8th century BCE, Achav, who was the king of Israel, who was a very successful militarily, was a successful king on a military level, but of course was a scourge when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and his wife was of course the probably most evil woman ever to live, Izebel. Yehoshaphat, the righteous king of Yehuda, came up to Shomron. They met together, and Ahav convinced him to join forces to go to war together against Aram to recapture Ramot HaGilad, basically parts of the Golan. And when that happened, the version in Divrei Hamim reads, "Shenemar v'yizbach lo Achav tzonu v'akar l'rov la'amar shemo v'yisiteu la'alot al Ramot Gilad." Now the wording here is kind of tricky. It says Achav slaughtered for him flock and the herd and much of it, and for all the people who were with him, and he enticed him to go to war. Now that's going to be the key word here. V'dilma mizbach zavach, perhaps Achav slaughtered them, but mechalo achal, maybe Yehoshaphat didn't eat, because otherwise Yehoshaphat, a righteous person, is eating from the slaughtering of Achav, who is a mushumad l'avodat kochavim. The answer is v'yisitei huktiv. He enticed him, you entice somebody over a meal, you sit down with a meal and you entice him. So Yehoshaphat didn't come there and stand around not eating, he ate. V'dilma bidvarim, maybe the enticement was with words. We say that's not true. There is no such thing as enticing with words. You got to sit down and have a meal. That's how you entice somebody, at least in the word hasata. In the famous passage of Mesit in Parshat Re'eh, it says if your brother or a member of your family entices you to go do Avodah Zarah, what the status of Mesit is, the answer is b'achila v'shtiyah, that's also over a meal. He sits down, let's have lunch, and over lunch he tries to talk you into it. It's always by feeding somebody, that's how you warm them up and you get them to become perhaps corruptible. This should be a slam dunk proof against, because here the same word hasata is used in the context of God. In the introduction to Sefer Iyov, it says that God turns to the Satan who has been provoking him to allow him, the Satan, to hurt Eov, to see if Eov's faith is pure, and God says, you have enticed me to destroy him for naught, and there God certainly isn't eating a meal. The answer is the Malashani. When talking about heaven, it's a different story. All right, so we now know that Yehoshaphat partook of a meal. Maybe he just drank and didn't eat. So he said, what would that solve? You're going to claim that Achav, who is Mishuma Lavar Kochavim, is still not Mishuma Lachola Torah Kula, and therefore you can drink his wine. So say the same thing about his food. And that's not really true, because Hachi Hashta Ashtia Stam Yenamu. We're talking about a Jew who does Avodah Zarah. Drinking his wine is not Yayin Nesach Doraita. It's an issue of Stam Yenam. That the prohibition had not yet been put in place for hundreds of years, and therefore there is no prohibition. However, when Shechita is Doraita, therefore it was already in play. And therefore, if Achav slaughtered, perhaps Yehoshaphat would say, this guy's Meshuma Dabarak Kochavim, that's called Meshuma Dacholat Arakula, I can't eat his Shechita, I'll drink his wine, and maybe that's what happened. The answer is, it's not very likely that the king sat around drinking without eating. That's not a royal thing to do. Where the pasuk says he slaughtered and he enticed him, meaning, what did he use to entice him? With that which he slaughtered. Okay, so now we've gotten to the point in reconstructing this narrative that Yehoshaphat certainly ate meat at this meal that was slaughtered for him at this meal. All right, and we had assumed that Achav did the shechita. So if you look in Perek Yodchet of Malachim Aleph, you'll meet a very important character, a side character to be sure, but an important one, Ovadia Asher al Habayit, who was a servant in Achav's court, who was very righteous. And when Izebel put out the edict to kill prophets, he hid 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave and fed them and took care of them, and he's a righteous fellow. And maybe it's Ovadia who did the shechita, and that's why Yehoshaphat could eat from it, which would kill, of course, any proof that we have here. The answer is Larov Ktiv. It says that there were lots of shechita. And Ovadia lo have sapek. He would not have been able to do it alone. He's one guy. But as we learn in Malachim Aleph Perak Yudtet, there were 7,000 people in the north who were still loyal to God. When God says to Eliyahu, when Eliyahu sort of refuses to get God's message, and Hashem, if you take a look at it, sort of pink slips him and says, I want you to go anoint Yoram as the king and Yehu ben Nimshi and Elisha in your place, and the one that this doesn't kill, that this one doesn't kill, that one will kill, and Elisha will kill the rest, and all that will be left will be the 7,000 people who have not bowed down to Baal, which means there's still some loyalists. Maybe they're the ones who did the Shechita, or some of them. You don't need 7,000 Shochtim. The answer is Timur Havu Mitamim Izebel. Those guys were hiding from Izebel. They couldn't be out there. Vidilma Gavri de Achav Havu Mali. Maybe Achav's court was good guys. The answer is Losakodaitech Tichti Moshel Makshiv Al Dvar Sheker Komishatav Rishaim. Pasuk in Mishlei says that a evil ruler, one who's willing to listen to lies, so all of his servants are bad. Meaning, basically, if you have a king who's rotten, his retinue is rotten, his court is rotten. Alright, Vidilma Gavri Yehoshaphat Nami Lo Havi Malu. Maybe Yehoshaphat's court was also not so good. The men who came with him were also not so good. Zvuach Gavri Achav, Achu Gavri Yehoshaphat, Zvuach Ovad, Yehoshaphat Yehoshaphat. So maybe Yehoshaphat's men, who were not so observant, and they were willing to eat from the shechita of Achav's rotten men, and maybe Ovadiah prepared a special meal for Yehoshaphat, and he ate proper stuff. The answer is Lo Sakadaitach, Midishmosh, Makshiv Al Dvar Sheker Kon Shatav Rishayim. So what will we infer from that last pasuk in Mishlei? Haladvarim et mishatav tzadikim. If you have a king who listens to truth, then his servants are also good, which means that it's not likely that Yehoshaphat's going to be a righteous man and all the members of his court are going to be wicked. So chances are that they also are observant of the laws. Okay, so V'dilma zavuach gavrei d'achav achal achav v'gavrei zavuach gavrei d'yoshaphat achal yehoshaphat v'gavrei. Well, that also doesn't make sense because the whole point of this thing was a detente. And so they suggest maybe that Achav's men slaughtered for Achav, and Yehoshaphat's men slaughtered for Yehoshaphat. And the answer is, he's not lo havi pmafli lef shemine. He wouldn't have separated like that to say, your men feed you, and my men will feed me, because that would defeat the whole purpose of this meeting. Menalan, how do we know? What did Yehoshaphat say back to Achav? When Achav said, let's go to war, he says, I am like you, and my people, my army is like your army, which means we're all one. What are you going to say now? My horses are like your horses, that's all talking about food, that doesn't make sense. That pasuk's not talking about the meal. What he meant was, whatever happens to your horses will happen to my horses, which means I'm casting my fate with yours as far as the war goes. So in the same way he was saying, whatever will happen to you and to your army will happen to me and to my army, and that's what he meant by that, but it had nothing to do with the meal. So that's not the proof. It says that they were sitting in the Goren, in the granary, at the gates of Shomron. So my Goren, you think there was really a granary there? I live in Goren Mamash? Shar Shomron HaGoren Havi? You think there was a granary at the gate of Shomron? The gate of Shomron is a royal place. What does it mean that they were sitting in a granary? Ela Ki Goren, they sat like a granary, meaning that non Sanhedrin Haitachat Si Goren HaGula. We have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, says that Sanhedrin was like a half circle, a half Goren. And so in other words, they sat, this whole group sat in a half circle, so they're all facing each other when they're having this meal of preparation for war against Aram. Alright, so that's how we know that Yehoshaphat would not have gone separately. And the bottom line is that Yehoshaphat and his righteous men were willing to eat the meal prepared by Ahav and his men, which means that a mushumad, avodat kochavim, his shchita, is acceptable and you can eat from there. And that is the source of Shmuel's halacha. Now, lay masayele, perhaps we have support for that from this. Ve'arvim vim lo lachem u'basar v'voka v'lachem basar ba'erev. A little bit earlier in Malachim, Hashem told Eliyahu, after he declared the 3 years of famine, to go down to Nachal Crete, and I will command the ravens to feed you, and there's Nachal Crete from where he drinks, and the ravens are bringing him bread and meat in the evening, and bread and meat in the morning. V'amar v'yudam arav, mi'bei tabchoy da'achav. I have a tradition that that came from Achav's kitchen, that meat. So therefore you see that Achav's shechita is valid. The answer is, apia dibur shani. That's God's demand. That doesn't prove anything for us. If God tells ravens to bring meat from some place to a prophet, that's fine, and that has nothing to do with normative halacha. All right, my orvim. Parenthetically, why were they called ravens? Maravina, orvim amash, because they were ravens. Maybe there were two men whose name was Orev, so they're both together called Orvim. So Miloktiv, are you going to Orev Tzur Orev? We find that there was a general in the Midiani army that Gidon chased, and Bnei Ephraim killed him, and his name was Orev. And they even renamed the place where he was killed Tzur Orev. So you see that such names do exist. Orvim. You think two guys, both the name of Orev, happen to be the guys that go and feed Eliyahu? Too unlikely. That's not what it is. V'dilma al-shem mekoman. Maybe they were two guys from the town of Orev, Orvim, like New Yorkers or Angelinos. Milok tiv v'am yatzuk dudiv v'yishbu mi'eret Yisrael na'ara ktana. In the story of Naman ha-tzarati, Naman ha-arami, who is Metzora, the famous leper, Naman, who is the general of the army, the story is prefaced with the capture of a young girl who ends up being a slave girl, and she's the one who sees Naaman with the tzarat and says to him, you know, there's an avi in Shomron and he'll cure you, and that's how Naaman ends up dipping in the Yarden 7 times at Elisha's direction. In any case, she's called a Na'ara Ktana v'kashalan, kari la Na'ara v'kari la Ktana. We're reading Na'ara Ktana now as very tight terms, and a Na'ara, of course, is someone who's already achieved puberty, and a Ktana is somebody who has not. The simple pshat, of course, is a young girl. V'yamar p'dat ktana demin ne'uran. He says, what does na'ara ktana mean? A young na'aran, somebody from ne'uran, from the town. It's the same thing. Orvim might be guys from Orev. So imkein orvim ibayilei. If that's the case, then the text should have said orvim. Just like you would say Yerushalmim or Tel Avivim, right? In Hebrew, you wouldn't say Yerushalmi. You wouldn't say Tel Avivim because you would have to have the extra yod that would indicate association with the place before the yod mem of the plural. So they would not be called Orvim. They'd be called Orvim. And therefore, it's pretty clear that Ravina's position that they really are ravens, that's what the text means. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We're going to pick it up in the middle of this discussion of Shmuel's halacha, that a mishumad l'avodat kochavim can do shchita, and that's valid, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.